Jefferson, give it up right here, man. No, right in the, oh, that's like in the sun. Almost had me. Guys, Vince Lombardi, yeah, the famed Green Bay Packer coach, every season at spring training, the first day of spring training, he had that tradition of holding up a football, talking to his professional football players, and he would say, "Men, this is a football." That's how we'd start every spring training. And then he would go on to describe the purpose of football. He would say, "This football, the goal of the game that we're going to play this year is to take this football across the goal line of our opponent. And on the other side, we're trying to keep them from doing the same thing to us. And whoever scores the most points wins." Now he's talking to professional football players who probably have been playing football since they were little kids. Do they need to be told every year as paid professionals that this is a football? Well, evidently Vince Lombardi thought they needed to be told because he told them every single year. Why is that? Is because if we want to be successful, we need to get back to the fundamentals. It's not just true of football, it's true of the church as well. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because in football, you know, things may look different from year to year. They might even look different within the year. Things can change within a game. You can change your whole strategy at halftime, can't you, if things aren't going well? So if we're planning on strategy, or we're planning on, if we're focusing on our strategy, if we're focusing on what's happening up in the stands, what's being sold at the concession stands, or the cheerleaders, or what uniforms we have, or whatever else, if we're not focusing on the fact that the goal of the game is to get this ball across and stop the other ones, then we can get distracted. So every year he told them, this is a football. This is what we're all about. This is the fundamentals. We get back to the basics. And every year at the Rock Church, we have this teaching to help us get back to the basics. Now, some of you have heard it for 15, 16, 17 times. The basics of what we're all about, but you're going to hear it again. And it's important that we get back to the fundamentals, that we start at the same place as a team, as a church. What are we doing here? What is the purpose here? And we're going to do that today, which I'm excited about. And biblically, when we're talking about, don't let me forget this, okay, Jefferson? Biblically, when we're talking about fundamentals, really it comes down to vision in my book. It comes down to vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish or are unrestrained. Where there's no vision, where someone doesn't stand up and say, this is the goal, then you can get all sidetracked over with contract negotiations or marketing or other things that are a part of football, but they're not the goal of football. In the church, vision. If we don't have a vision, then we can just be churchgoers, and we're not interested in that. We don't have time for that. We got a game to win. God's given us a mission, and we're going to talk about that mission today. I like this in 1 Chronicles 12. Interesting verse talking about a tribe in Israel. It says the men of Issachar, that was a whole tribe, a group of men and women in Issachar, they understood the times and they knew what Israel should do. That's vision. They knew what was going on. They knew the goal of the game at that point, and they knew what they should do. They understood the times, and they knew what they should do. That's what we're all about as well. I love a couple of my good vision quotes. Jonathan Swift, an old preacher, said, "Vision is the art of seeing things invisible." Seeing things invisible. That's what vision is. It's casting vision. This is where we're headed. This is what we're going to do, even though we haven't seen it yet, even though it's out there somewhere, but to see it, to be able to help other people see it. I like this story of John Sculley and Stephen Jobs. Stephen Jobs is in the foreground, John Sculley in the background, co-founders, really, of Macintosh. John Sculley was hired in 1983, right before the 1984 big commercial at Super Bowl. Remember the Macintosh commercial that blew that company up from a $2 million a year business to a $9 billion business. And John Sculley at the time, he wasn't part of the company, but Steve Jobs obviously was from the very beginning. and they were going in a new direction, and the company was just about ready to explode and get a personal PC on everybody's desk. And John Sculley at the time had been for a long time the CEO of PepsiCo Company, so he's very successful businessman. And Steve Jobs saw that and invited him to come into his office and offered him a job with Apple to help him market and to be the CEO of Apple and as they launched the Macintosh line. And John Sculley, it's reported, and it's reportedly in the video of the documentary of Steve Jobs. At one point, Steve Jobs is making his pitch, and John Sculley says, "You know, I'm pretty comfortable. He was the highest paid CEO of his time. He's making $2 million a year, which at that time, way back in 1983, was a lot of money. I mean, it still is today, but..." So he made his pitch, and John Sculley says, I don't know. I'm making plenty of money. I'm pretty comfortable. And to that, Steve Jobs reportedly slammed his fist down on the desk and said, "Do you want to sell sugar water the rest of your life, or do you want to come with me and change the world?" At which point, John Sculley said, "I think I'm going to go with you." And the rest is history. The Macintosh blew up that year and completely changed the world. How many of you own a Macintosh or some kind of Apple device? Raise your hand. Or seen one? Come on. Yes. It's changed the world. That's changed the world. That's vision. He knew where he wanted to go. He could see it. He wanted to change the world, and he has. I like what Andy Stanley says. He says, "Vision is painting a picture of a preferred future." For Steve Jobs, it was to change the world with this laptop, this device, this tabletop computer that everybody could have. In the church, God wants us to have a vision for why we're doing what we're doing, not just to keep doing it year after year, but to be reminded, this is what we're all about. This is our job. This is what we need to do. Back to the fundamentals, okay? So where are we going? What are we living for? What is the preferred future that God would have us as a church pursue? So a little, this will be a little audience participation. So we have our fundamentals. If we're going to say, here's at the very base of who we are. We have a vision statement and we have a mission statement that are both still very viable, and we've had them for years. So I suspect that some of you could even say this out loud with me without seeing it. If I told you the first two words were "one life" is our vision statement. Could you say it with me if I quoted it? Ready? What's our vision statement? "One life at a time, one world in our lifetime." That's right. Let's all say it together. "One life at a time, one world in our lifetime." So our ultimate vision as a church, just so you know, especially if you're new with us, and this is a good time to come if you're new with us, to understand we want to change the world. We're not interested in selling sugar water Christianity. We're on world mission. Right here in Utah, I'm on world mission. And I have been for 35 years. And I want you to join me to change the world. This is our vision. How do we do it? One life at a time. The person sitting next to you, the person in your cubicle, the person in your neighborhood, someone you invite to church, one life at a time. Eventually, we'll reach the world. Amen? That's our vision. That's our win. Okay? Now, our mission statement is how we do that. How do we practically work that out? And if I told you the first couple words were "win the loss," I bet some of you could say it with me. What's our mission statement? Let's say it together. Ready? Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. Let's all say it together like we mean it. Win the lost, build the believer, send the sanctified. Win, build, send. We have a little saying in our staff, and our staff, if it's not win, build, send, let it end. Let it end, because this is what we're about. Winning people to Christ, building them up in the truth of the gospel and the Bible, and then sending them out. Doesn't mean that everybody goes on a mission to Europe or some other place, but you can be sent out right in our own city. To be sent out, to be on mission, in other words. That's our goal, that's our mission statement. We want to win the world one life at a time, one world in our lifetime, and we're going to do it by winning the lost, building the believer, and sending the sanctified. This is the basics of who we are at the Rock Church. Welcome to the Rock. This is us. This is what we're doing. It hasn't changed. Now, the uniforms might change. The venue might change. How we do things might change. We may have to change in the middle of the game at halftime. We had to change at halftime last year. We had to change right at halftime. Some things had to change. But this is still the same, guys. This has not changed. We are all about getting the ball across the goal line to win the loss, build the believer, and send the sanctified. And you need to know that. Get us on the same page. That's the basics. So what we're going to do is look at three keys to our success. This is like our spring training. How are we going to be successful? How are we going to get this ball across the goal this year? Well, it starts by looking at where we've been. We need to get our bearings from where we've been. It's always good to look back at what we learned last year, some of the things we did, some of the amazing things God did, and then just reground ourselves at where we're at right now, and then look ahead to the future. So we're going to do all three of those in this teaching just to get us, again, foundationally together in the basics. That's what we're going to do, okay? That's what this message is all about. So let's pray, and we'll get started. God, thank you for tonight. And I thank you, God, that the basics are really important. And our goals and fundamentally where we're headed is important for us to be reminded. And I thank you again for the reminder. We're here to win people to Christ. That's what we're all about. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about playing church or getting a bigger church. For what end? God, our end is to win the entire world. That's what we want to do. We really do. So help us to do that. Help us to be on the same page. And bless our time tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've gone way too long on the intro. Let's go through this. I've got some cool things I want to share with you. So the first key to being successful in 2017 is that we remember the past. It said in Psalm 78 that the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, that would have been like modern-day M16s. Though armed with bows, the best equipment, even though they had it, they turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by his laws. Why? Because they forgot. They forgot. They forgot what? What he had done, the wonderful works he had shown them. So a well-equipped army might turn back on the day of battle simply because they didn't remember what God had done, how God had given victories in the past. So we get to do that just a little bit here. One of the things we need to remember is that when Jesus was here, he had a mission. It was to seek and save the lost. We're on the same mission today. And your mission, as we've talked about just briefly, will drive what we do. Our mission is to get the ball across the goal line, then that's what we'll work hard to do. So we'll work and we'll set up our life to win that goal, to meet that goal, okay? I like what Andy Stanley said. He says, we all end up somewhere in life. Some of us get there on purpose. That's intentional. Are you intentional? Are you just kind of rolling along? Well, God wants us as a church to be intentional in how we get that ball across the goal line. And I think he's got some good stuff for us. And he's done some good things in this past year. Just real quick, from the beginning, I want to put this in here. I haven't put this in here in the last few years, but I want to put just a few slides to back up for a lot of you that are new. I get asked more and more. People ask me, hey, have you been coming to the church very long? They ask me that. Have you been coming very long? It's like, yes, I have, as a matter of fact. And so I want to tell them a story. So just let me just share with you real briefly. I think this is important, again, going back to the basics and foundations, where it started. Here's where it started. You know, I don't know what you're doing 20 years ago, but 20 years ago, I was recruiting people to come out to Salt Lake City. I was living in Colorado, planting churches there. I was a pastor, and I was trying to get people to move from beautiful Colorado to come here. That's what I was trying to do 20 years ago. And we got a team of people. In fact, I got at least one family. This was our very first service, May 1999, in my living room. This was the first rock service with Steve and Jeannie McEnroy. And her older kids, Kelsey, was down watching our younger kids. And that's Jonathan. He was less than a year old at that point. So this was our first service. It started going on 18 years ago. Again, just a little history of the Rock Church. We ended up having meeting people and going door to door, inviting people to church, just trying to connect relationally as much as we can. And we didn't know anybody out here. So we just went door to door trying to meet people. Would you like to come to an unplugged service in some guy's house you don't even know in his living room? That's where we're inviting people to. We had watermelon. As you can see, Jeannie and Mary are eating watermelon. There's Mac in the background. And we started gathering a group of people. We started gathering people, and we got more and more people. Again, this is how we started. This whole thing was in my living room. And then we had our grand opening October 17, 1999, at Alta Canyon Sports Center on Highland and 94th. And we met in the aerobics room, and we were able to count double because it had mirrors all over the place, and I would count lots of people coming, and we baptized people in the Olympic-sized swimming pool. They let us do that for a while. Had 101 people at our first grand opening. This was the literature piece that we sent out, and that was our old logo. That was our first logo. And if you look really, really close, look at that stud playing drums right there. That was me. I used to play drums in the worship band and lead the worship band. Can I play drums now? Not really. Can I sing? No, not really. But God blessed. And that was my brother-in-law, Phil. By July of 2000, all 30 of the people that said, I want to be part of this, had moved out, and we're now, this is the whole 30, including children, okay? We had six families, four of them are still with us, two others have gone to do other things, God called them elsewhere, but we still have the McEnroys and all their kids, and there's Rachel sitting right there, Philip is back there, all the Han kids, and then my kids are Stephen, and there's the Porter kids, and the Porters are related to Paul here, who was just worshiping, leading us in worship. So this was our team that God brought out. It took about a year for them to all get out there, but this was it. Fall of 2002, I'm going to skip through a bunch of stuff. So fast forward a couple years, we started having the vision to win, build, send, to start a second service, to plant a church downtown. So we started meeting on Saturday nights at the Alta Canyon Sports Center. And Paige Crosswhite was the first one we put on staff. See Steele with his long hair and gnarly beard, and he was a rock star at that point. So we started meeting. We had candles. We actually lit the candles. I'm glad the fire marshal didn't come in because we probably shouldn't have done that. But we started meeting Saturday nights and just seeing if we could get a crowd of younger people, and God bless that. This was our last service in 2003 at Alta Canyon Sports Center, and you can see we were filling it up. It went from one couple in my living room to this after about 3 years. And then they kicked us out, and we had to go find a place. Wait a minute. How many people have met with us in the Alta Canyon Sports Center? John, yes. Back there, yeah. All the kids, of course, yes. Didn't the Martins, weren't you? Didn't you ever come to that? No? Okay. Anybody else I miss? Yes, right back here? Yes, that's right. Cars. So can you see yourself in there anywhere? This is a great picture. There's my wife and Jonathan. Who else? There's Emma. Where's Emma at? Is she watching kids? She's right there. There's Emma. So, Sydney Porter, this is just kind of a throwback. So we met there the last time, and then we had to go find a new home. I call it new in quotation marks because it was trashed. It was a building on 106 South and 13th East and Sandy. It was literally, there was water running through the ceiling onto the floor when we met with the guy who was going to rent it to us, and he didn't care. It was just running, just constant, and everything was warped. You guys remember that? We had to clean it up. It was a big space, so we cleaned it up. We met there for about 12 years, I think. God bless, and then we recognized Mac as a second full-time pastor. He quit his electrician job and became a full-time pastor. And then we decided to plant downtown. We found an old building, a warehouse downtown, and Mac and I spent many, many hours remodeling, building stage, getting ready. So this turned into this, and we planted a church. October 4th, 2003, had 251 people at our first service, which was amazing, the downtown location. Then Josh and Steele got recognized, and I'm not going to be able to go through all the details of everybody getting recognized, but these guys got recognized as pastors, our third and fourth pastor, 2006. And then in 2007, September 1st, was our grand opening of our Provo location. Again, God blessed that. We sent Mac down with a team to Provo. Here was the last service in 2014 at the Sandy building. We cleaned everything up and moved out in 2014 because they were going to tear this building down and they told us we had to get out. So then you guys came along. Again, I skipped a whole bunch, didn't I? But December 2014, you guys planted your church, so 2-year anniversary. And what else do we have? Oh, in the spring of 2014, we were able to raise money in 2008 to buy land in Draper. 2014, we raised money to be able to start building. We started construction early spring 2014 of our Draper facility. Finished it 8 months later. In October 2014, we had our ribbon cutting, November of 2014. So we just had our two-year anniversary of being in that building in Draper, and God has really blessed. It's drawn lots and lots of people, okay? So that's a quick blast from the past, all right? Now let's go to some of the highlights, and some of these will be Draper highlights because I'm teaching this at all locations. Brian's going to come up and share a little bit about specifically you guys. But just last year, let's look back real quick. I think it's good to remember, isn't it? What God's done, salvations, baptisms. If we look at the past 12 years, we have names. That's when we started keeping better records. Names of 908 people, almost 1,000 people by name in our database of people that have become Christians through the ministry of the Rock Church in 12 years, almost 1,000 people. And 682 of them have been baptized. These are the ones that we know. I know some of you guys baptize people. You're rogue baptizers. You know, you baptize them at your small group, which is fine. We just don't have their names, okay? Last year, we have names of 57 people that we know of, names of them that got saved, and 25 baptisms. That's a little low because we didn't have our big all-church camp out that we usually do. We usually baptize 20 to 25 people at the camp out. But that's still amazing, especially looking back 12 years. Attendance, again, all last year, we had three churches until October, and when we pulled back the downtown church, I'll talk about that in a second, we had four services, average about 841 people coming. Our Easter service had 1,500 people at our Easter service all together, and we had close to 1,000 visitors at our locations. So some people, even today, somebody's asking, don't you remember me? We've met. Dude, we get 1,000 people. 1,000 people. I can't remember everybody. I meet lots of people. God is blessed and has brought tons of people. Now, I mentioned three churches. We did have to change gears in the middle of the halftime last year as far as our church. We pulled back the Provo church last December back up to Draper. We were reallocating troops. There were some financial things and some other things going on. We just thought it's best to pull them back to Draper, and we did the same thing with the downtown church last October. That has been a hard thing for a lot of people. It's been a hard thing for our staff. Here's one thing I've learned, if I'm going to be very honest. It's much easier to lead into things than to lead out of things. It's a lot easier because you can fire people up to lead out of things. You have tears and you have hurt and you have, why are you doing this? And even though if you know it's right, it's harder to lead out of things. But we led out of the downtown building and brought people back to Draper. So it was a different year. God changed things up. God had a year that we didn't expect, but it was better and it was more faith-filled than I would have expected as well. God is going to use that. But that's where we're at for attendance. Why is that there? It's a highlight for 2015. I don't know. Well, I guess it was a highlight, wasn't it, Brian? They did win. I'm rooting for your Packers because my boys are gone. So mission and benevolence. As a church, this is all church. All the money goes into one pot in our church. Last year alone, we gave away, meaning we gave money to organizations and people that weren't us, didn't benefit us, $121,500 last year alone. And this is about average. So over the last 10 years, by my calculations, we've given away $1 million. That's given away on top of having to pay all our bills and staff and buildings and rent and heat. We've given away $1 million in 10 years because of the generous donations of people in our church. So last year we gave $121,000 away, which is very cool. Small groups, I figure we have about 70 small groups over the whole year. That's including all the locations, about 70 different small groups. Here's some of the Draper small groups going on right now. Web presence, some of you web geeks, you'll be interested in this. 26,800 unique visits to our website. That's no small thing. That's a lot. 17,000, I love this, 17,800 Vimeo videos watched. 17,000 of our messages were watched. I mean, we didn't do 17,000 messages, but they watched that many of our messages, okay? 39,000 listened to our messages. 1,200 downloaded the app. If you haven't downloaded our app, you should do that. Do that tonight. 18,000 Spotify listeners. I think that's pretty cool. Our new building, Draper, again, it says 2 years old. Our Roots campaign, which was our capital campaign to get enough money to get the building built, it ended this summer, early fall, And we have surpassed the $1.5 million donations, personal donations from people in our churches. You guys have pledged and you've given, and it's crested over $1.5 million, which is very cool. We still owe $1.5 million on the whole project, which isn't horrible, actually. But this is what the donations, the Roots donations, have amounted up to so far, which is a real blessing, which is amazing. In Draper, we had Draper Day similar to, what do you call it, Taylorsville Days? Similar thing, we did that. I'll talk about that more tomorrow in Draper. There was a mission trip to Sweden. Mac took a group of people to Sweden, which is very cool. These are our nine ministry partners that we, again, we partner with throughout the year. We support them and what they're doing because they do things we can't do. So we give them money and support and volunteers and throughout the year, and we announce when they do things. We wanted to make sure that we let you know we're involved with these different groups and others. I can talk about our youth group tomorrow more. Discipleship training camp, that is where our youth go for summer leadership training. This year we went to Laramie, Wyoming. We talked about apologetics for 4 days with our youth, which is fantastic. It was really good. We were joined by our Midwest group, so we had about 350 kids with us and adults. We put together our God and Creation small group curriculum. If you're interested in that, you can go online. It's online now. I broke up the whole God and Creation series and created a whole curriculum with discussion questions, leadership guide, and all of it. And a lot of my small groups have been using it. We had our rock music, Awakened by Hope. Give it up for Awakened by Hope, man. This album, this was a great project that we released last year. The first 2 weeks that it was released, it was top 10 Billboard. It was number 9 Billboard. It was beating Hillsong. It was beating Amy Grant. It was beating all these amazing artists. God has just blown it up. And I think on Spotify, I just looked the other day, the one song, Your Beauty, I think it had 38,000 listens just to that one song. I mean, God is doing some amazing things. We've partnered with Capitol Records, their worship arm of their Capitol Records, and God has done amazing things. You can buy it today if you'd like to. And we had our Christmas program at the end of the year. And then we had a Christmas Eve service. We'd never done that before. You guys kind of had one too, I think, didn't you? Some kind of Christmas Eve service. But we had over 440 people in one of the services. We had two services. It was crazy. It was amazing. Packed out. You couldn't even move. Okay? Here's our pastors and staff for this year. What a good-looking group of guys and girls right there, okay? And there's three part-time staff that you don't see. So that's kind of where we've been. I'm going to let Brian come up. You got a microphone, brother? And he's going to share a little bit about what the West Side has been up to.
All right, thanks, Bill. Hey, family. All right. I put some info on my phone. He said 5 minutes, and he told me yesterday, so I tried to pull up a slideshow to compete with him to show these guys what we're doing on the West Side. But God's been doing awesome things with our church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. So let's get rolling through it. First things first, we're 2 years old now. Guys, depending on how smart we are, most of us are out of diapers. That's pretty cool. So we're growing up a little bit. So you guys know the drill. In 2014, we asked a bunch of people part of the Rock Church to pray about being a part of this church plant. And there's about 40, 50 adults here in this picture two years ago that signed the papers. They said, well, I'll do this. I'll make a sacrifice. We'll jump ship and we'll head over to Friday night in Taylorsville. And many of those people are still with us today. And then here we are 1 year ago. Tomorrow, I believe, or one year ago yesterday, it was our 1 year anniversary. We took a big old picture, and many of you guys are in that photo as well. Many are missing because there's a wedding happening, a rehearsal. But next week, we're going to take this picture again, okay? So everybody show up, shower, do your hair, get all did up. So that's kind of cool. Some cool things, like Bill's talking about, salvations. We've seen people accept, believe, trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then respond by getting baptized. We've seen that happen here at Friday nights. It's been a beautiful thing to see. This has nothing to do with anything. Just me and Josh, we're actually starting to dress similarly now, so that's kind of cool. I guess I'm growing up when I start to look a little bit like Josh. Or he's trying to look like me. I don't know. I'm just saying. That was cool. That has nothing to do with the slideshow. Outreach. At the Rock Church, we think outreach, preaching the gospel, is a pretty big deal. How can people be saved? How can they believe if they don't hear the good news? So we obey that call, and we go out into the city. We go downtown. We go to the malls. We go to shopping centers, the movie theaters, and we preach the gospel. We invite people to church. It's a wonderful thing. We've done that. We even did that with Taylorsville Days. For 3 days, we had a booth right down the street, literally across the street from us, and we invited people into church. We had hundreds of conversations about the gospel. Met a lot of other vendors, like people from around Taylorsville that work and live in this neighborhood that have come to church because we hung out and did evangelism. I did a little bit of math. Last year, in 2016, we did about 40 days of intentional outreach and evangelism. Like, people in this church got up and left their house and their video games and their cars and their air conditioning and went out into the streets and preached the gospel. Anywhere, so 40 nights, sometimes 1, 2, 3, 4 people for 2.5, 3 hours. If you do the math, that's anywhere from like 100 to 400 hours of outreach that just the men and women in this building participated in sharing the gospel outside of this building. That's very encouraging. That was your shouting moment right there. Amen. Then we had the UNL outreach team, University of Nebraska, Lincoln, I believe. We had a dozen of those beautiful kids come and hang out, and for a whole week, they served this church. They hung up hundreds of posters. They delivered thousands of flyers to the people in this neighborhood and invited them to Easter. And I believe we had 30-something new first-time visitors that Easter, that Friday night Easter service. Those guys are awesome. I miss them. They're so sweet. Hope they come back. We've seen weddings. We saw Travis and Arian get married last year. That's amazing. Hallelujah. Shout. That's right. Little old Nathan. Can you believe it? Nathan got married to Fernanda. It was a beautiful wedding. It was awesome. I got to participate in that. And we have more weddings tomorrow. Mitch and Natalie are getting married. So that's 2017. I'll save that for next year. But people are falling in love in this building. Oh, guys, it's so cute. It has nothing to do with anything. That's just Josh wearing cool glasses because he's not here. So I figured I'd put that on the slideshow. That's Josh. A lot of barbecues. This is a big God loves food. Jesus had a wonderful meal with his friends before he went to the cross, so we participate in having meals with each other as well. We did a lot of barbecues. We participated in a barbecue with Cross Point here. We did our Sunday Fun Days where we rented out a pavilion at the park down the street, and we just grilled burgers, and we grilled dogs. We even grilled veggie burgers. I know, we got to die to ourselves, and we did that, and God blessed it. We fed hundreds of people. Strangers were rolling in, people I've never seen before, found Facebook invites. I heard there was a barbecue at this park, so we came for the food. And we said, well, amen, because we didn't invite you. But that was the whole point. Strangers showed up and ate our food and then jumped in bouncy houses with us. We did that a whole bunch of times over the summer. God bless that. There are people who call this church their home because of barbecues at the park. That's a blessing. The ladies have done lots of awesome things, way more awesome things than the guys. Mostly it's us getting spanked by Pastor Josh. The ladies have been doing painting nights and Christmas teas, and maybe that's laser tag, I don't even know, or a movie theater. That's like a strobe light or a black, I don't know, they're hanging out playing video games. They had a lot of fun. The ladies did awesome. We believe the fellowship with the ladies, and women should grow in their faith and community with each other. We believe that, and they've been doing that awesomely this last year. We had our Taylorsville, our Friday night, we had our first camp out, our Rock Church camp out. It was awesome. The Cars planned the whole thing. We had about 50, 60 of us camping overnight. And I'd never heard of this thing called Can Jam before, but either did my wife. But we won. We won the competition. And if you see right there, there's our trophy. And I was going to bring it to show you guys because it's on the mantle in our house. This is a big deal. So anyway, I'm a Can Jam champion. You're welcome. Next year, we're ready for you, okay? We've been practicing. We had our first camp out. That was wonderful. Plenty of after church hangouts. We've done pizza, barbecues. We've done movies. We've watched Willy Wonka. We had so much fun here. And this has nothing to do with what God's doing as well. I just needed to state some facts. So this was in 2015. You guys know Pastor Billy. Hey Billy, how are you? Right there, Pastor. You're safe. He's in the back of the room. I just want you to understand how safe you are on a Friday night. This is the 2015 arm wrestling competition. Billy won. He is undefeated, okay? So last year, 2016, arm wrestling competition, Billy Johnson, undefeated. It has nothing to do with what God's doing here. I just want you guys to know that Billy Johnson is the strongest person on the planet, and you are safe here. He also says he's retired from the arm wrestling game. but you know he will not. He will not. He's probably got a table in his pocket right now, just ready to go. Over the last 12 months here, how many weeks are there in a year, you guys? 50-something? 52? All right. We preached the gospel of Jesus 52 times. The salvation is by grace alone was preached in this building for 12 solid months. We've gone through a bunch of cool series. Jesus is Better, the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the You Asked For It series. We had Easter, we had Christmas, the kids came and rocked for us, which leads me to the best point. We have the best kids rock program in the state by far. Our leaders teach the best lessons about Jesus Christ here. And this is cool to think about. We have three big kid classrooms that are getting Jesus gospel-focused, centered messages every single week. So I had to write it down because I'm not good at math. So three classrooms, and there's three lessons every week. I believe that's three lessons a week. Divide that by 50 weeks in 2016. That is 156 Christ-centered, Christ-exalted, gospel-centered messages that your children have been preached to at this church. That's going to change the world. You may not think that. That's going to change our world. There's Josh Whitney again. That's about it. So let's see. Be encouraged by the past. I got one last thought. So think about this. So if God's doing awesome things, I would say amen, right? Amen. So think about this. If we were to add up every Friday night service, every one of our, I didn't even mention the 50 small groups and Bible, the midweek opportunities that we have here. You add up every Friday night service, every midweek Bible study, small group, core meeting, Theology Matters nights, the men's meetings, the ladies' meetings, the leaders' meetings. You add up all the Christmas teas, the painting nights, fellowship, teaching meetings, every man's Mondays, game nights at Casey Kelly's house, courageous manhood, the men's breakfast, Tuesday morning breakfast, the prayer meetings, all of our parties with the Sunday fun day, the after church hangouts, pizza, board game hangouts, the rock church campouts, the 20-plus mommy play dates, the dinners, barbecues, birthday parties, the 15-plus homeschool group activities, pumpkin carving parties, Hal Porter wedding, hiking adventure, 5Ks ran, flag football, ultimate frisbee, kickball games, the 30, 40, 50, 60 nights of intentional outreach evangelism in outside of this building in the city, Taylorsville days downtown, the UNL mission trip for Easter that came, our compassion projects, Operation Christmas Child. This is stuff we just didn't have time to talk about because he said 5 minutes and I've already failed you. Royal Kids Camp, Pregnancy Resource Center, Baby Bottle Campaign, the Franklin Graham Prayer at the Capitol event, helping people move, the Dawes moved, the Willies moved. If you were to add all of those up in the last year, we'd have done somewhere between 175 to 240 days of life together. God's done amazing things, yeah. That's just in 1 year. I can't believe you guys have been willing to hang out with me that many times. So I think about last year, and I can't stop but be encouraged by the past, what God is doing. So if you're new to The Rock, we just want to say, we're so glad you're here. You are the reason that we're here. We prayed for God to do a big thing with our life, and you're showing up. You're the answer to our prayer. And to you, the church planners, those of you, the 40, 50 of you who decided to jump and be a part of this Friday night service, and I counted earlier, there's 18 of you in this room. So the 18 of you in this room, wait, 19... Alicia's here too. So the 20 of you in this room planted, who was part of this church, I just want you to look around this room for a minute. The 20 of you took a leap of faith. Just look at the other men and women in this room. Look at all the people who are in the room with you tonight. We prayed for God to do something big with this. And look at the men and women who are sitting next to you tonight. Look at what he's done. Do you see how good God has been to us? He's doing such amazing things. I'm so encouraged to run the race with you guys. I'm so encouraged that you guys want to be my friends. I love you. I'm going to continue to run with you. God bless you. Thank you. Let's get Bill back up here.
Amen. I love this verse, like the last part. Let us praise his name together. It's good to remember. It's kind of like what we just did in the using the football paradigm is like we're looking at film for what God did last year. And we're going, amen. God did some good things. And it's all to be able to get the ball across the goal line, to win, build, and send, all of it. It's not just fruitless, it's to win, build, send. That's what it's all about. So let's continue on here. We need to engage in the present. Jesus has given us a job to do. All right, we looked at the past. Now just real briefly, as far as the present, I just want you to be aware again, God wants us to be on mission, to be able to tell people about Christ. That's what we're about. We're to be on mission. This is what God's called us to do in Acts 1:8. I like this quote by Pastor James Boyce. A non-witnessing Christian is a contradiction. And a witness simply tells what happened to them, just tells their story. Just gets on the witness stand and said, this is what I saw. So as a Christian, that's all God calls us to do. He said, listen, God's changed my life. He can change your life as well. Here's how he's changed my life. Through this church that I'm involved with. This is what he's done. That's all a witness is. So ultimately, it's about the people and sharing the gospel. So in my mind, the gospel is my job. My job, secular job, just pays the bills. So as Christians, we can be about our mission, the job of sharing the gospel with people, populating heaven. And the opportunity here in Utah is astounding if you think about it. In Utah, every year they do the statistics in the Salt Lake Tribune, and they come back and say that the evangelical, those who would consider themselves like evangelical Christians, like you and I, born-again, Bible-believing Christians, are less than 3%. Less than 3%, which means there are a whole bunch of people that need to hear the good news about Jesus. So it's wide open, and I believe God's doing a new thing in Utah, and we get to be a part of it. So that's exciting. Let's go to the last part real quick here. Jesus had one command, reach the world. That's what he told us to do. Again, we need to remember that when it comes to the goal of why we're here. There's a lot of things that we do that he didn't necessarily tell us to do. It's all part of win, build, send. But one thing he did tell us to do is to reach the world. This is our job. This is our goal. And I just want to say it again. Here's our battle cry. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is what God's called us to do. This is what I'm giving my life to. This is what these churches have been giving their lives to. This is our goal, is to make disciples of all the nations. We're on world conquest, if you remember that. And I've got a little pithy saying that God gave me years ago, and I believe this is true. I believe if we can have impact here in Utah, if we can in fact win Utah, and make a huge impact for Christ in this state, I believe we'll reach the world. In other words, we'll have worldwide impact. We'll change the world if we can have an impact here in Utah. Do you believe that? You don't think the world would take notice of the most religious state in the Union? All of a sudden, things start changing, and people are saying, well, we thought we were Christians, but we're not. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you the gospel, because that's the only way you can answer that question. And you'll be answering on the nightly news, and the whole world will hear the gospel when Utah is transformed by the gospel of Jesus. I believe that. I really do, man. I'm excited about it. So, God will do amazing things at the Rock. So, there's a whole list of things. I'm not going to go through them all because we've talked about them. Just know this, that everything that's going to come up this next year, the things that he's going to do, again, a lot of it is repeating or doing again what we've done in the past. There'll be new things. There'll be changes in the program, but it's all for win, build, send. So again, some of these are all church. Some are Draper related, but small groups, again, coming up. If you're not involved in a small group, get involved in one. We're going to start a 1 Peter series, Living God's Way, after this series is done. So in February, we're going to kick off a 10-week series, which is going to be very exciting, go through the book of 1 Peter. Then we'll have our Easter outreaches and Mother's Day, Memorial Day. We're going to do a mission trip to Honduras if you're interested. I think they've got a team that's pretty full. People that have gone before are going to go again. They have to limit it. But if you're interested, talk to me or to the squires in the Draper Church. So camp out. You guys will have your camp out. We'll have ours. We're going to do an all-church camp out over Father's Day weekend. We'll do the youth again are going to, this year we're going to Denver. And it's all going to be on evangelism this year. So we'll have all the youth in our region come together for 4 days, and we'll do a lot of outreach, a lot of cold turkey evangelism in downtown Denver. Draper days, like your Taylorsville days, we're going to do a Romania mission trip. If you're interested in that, certainly talk to me. That is wide open. That'll be for a couple weeks to Romania. We've been there many times. It's a great mission trip. If you're interested in going to Romania in September, Rocktoberfest, that's around Halloween. It's another outreach opportunity. All our men's and women's events, ladies' night. Roots 2.0, just again, we're going to be paying down our building over the next number of years. I'm praying for a miracle that we could get that done quickly because we want to move to phase 2 as far as Draper is concerned. And just if you're interested, because a lot of you have donated to that. We are thinking of phase two. We actually met with architects and builders this week to talk about the phase two part of our project. If you don't know, this is what we built in 2014, the floor plan. Really, it was a two-phase project. We just built what we needed to get into it. So this is about 14,000 square foot. But we do have a phase two planned, and we talked to the architects this week. We're going to do a pre-design phase and get that design, what that would look like. This is what it looks like from the air, and this is what phase two will look like with a bigger, better auditorium and a play place and a bigger place to meet. And actually have, we want to put a professional recording studio in there as well as one of our goals. So this is what it kind of looks like now, and this is what it could look like. Again, this will be what the lobby looks like, just if you're interested. So, this is where we're going as far as the Draper campus. Here's my last quote that I'll share before I finish here. I love C.T. Studd because he has a really cool name to begin with. That's an awesome name. And he is a stud. He's a spiritual stud. He says, some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. I love that. I think it's Nick Vujicic that says he's the man with no arms, no legs, and he's an evangelist and has great impact on the world, telling people about Jesus. He says that he feels like his job is to stand at the gates of hell and redirect traffic. That's what his job is. That's what our job is. This is what our job is. Right here, men and women, God's given us a job to reach the world, one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. That's what we're all about. We've been on mission for the past year. God's going to give us another amazing year. And I believe this. I'm going to ask you to join us, to consider joining us. Be a part of what God's doing. Don't be content with making sugar water this year. Don't be content with what you're doing. Join us in reaching the world because God has good plans for us. He has good plans for our churches. He's going to do amazing things this year. You can be a part of it if you want to. I'm going to encourage you to join us. Consider being on the team and being a part. Don't miss what God has for us in 2017. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to help us. Lord, thank you for the mission that you put us on. Thank you, God, that you get to remind us at least once a year that we're on mission and that we do have a vision to reach the world one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. Thank you, I get to do it with such amazing people. Thank you, I've been able to do it for so many years with so many godly, spirit-filled people, and I thank you for that. It's humbling. I'm so thankful that I've been able to do it in Utah for so many years with so many families that have been around the whole 18 years and just laying it down for you. Thank you that they're not sugar water makers. They're world changers, and I get to rub shoulders with them. So I pray, God, with all my heart, that as we enter into 2017, that we would have a clear-eyed vision for why we're on this planet. And it's not to make money. It's not just to be happy. It's to be on mission for you. There's people that need you. There's people in Utah that need to hear the gospel. And we get to be that voice. So help us this year to be on mission. Help us to join arms in the West Side Church plant here, that everyone here would join arms and say, I'm going to redouble my efforts to winning and loving people into the kingdom. And then we're going to build them up and we're going to send them out. We're going to be on mission together. So I thank you so much for all that you've done. We corporately thank you as we've looked back. It's fun to look back, God, because we see what you've done. We remember the works of the Lord. You've done amazing things and we give you all the glory and all the praise. But then we look ahead and say, God, you want to win more. You want to win more and so do we. We want to be your men and women on mission. So give us grace to do that. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.